Amen. Have your Bibles this morning. There are new things. This is a brand new year. How many of you already written down the date wrong in some form or maybe some application or a check? How many of you already written the date wrong once? Already? I've done that two or three times. 19. I just circle around it, try to get it 20. It's hard to remember. We got a brand new year, but everybody in this room's got another year to serve the Lord, it looks like, or at least a portion of it. It's brand new. This morning, I want you to see four things that are new in Scripture. The Lord says for us, new this, new that. The first one, Brother Jeremy read, a new heart. Now, you have to remember, if you take your Bible and turn to that passage, Ezekiel, if you would, Ezekiel. Notice with me, if you would, Ezekiel chapter 18. We must see our sin. You'll see here in verse number 31, he says, cast away from you all your transgressions. Hebrew word transgression is crossing a line that God has said. God said, thou shalt not, and you step over that line, it's a you've transgressed against the Lord. The Bible says, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. So all of us have stepped over that line. The question is, do we see it? Now, everybody in this room needs a new heart. We're born with a physical heart, but we need a spiritual heart. And that spiritual heart opens our eyes to all the new things God has for us. So this morning, if you never trusted Christ as Savior, you need a new heart. And that's what he's speaking about, the children of Israel here. But the first thing, you got to see your sin. Everybody here has got to see it. And then you got to sense a sorrow of the heart. You and I can't be proud of our sin and ever be saved. No one in this room can say, look, I know I'm a sinner, but so is everybody else. We can't look at it and say, and hide underneath the sins of others. We can't look at it and say, well, you know, I sin, but I don't really care. And ever be saved. We have to see our sin. We have to sense a sorrow over our sin. What that means is one of the most important things for people to maintain good relationships is that when you see you've done something, you learn to say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Most people in this world don't say, I'm sorry. But if they do, they say it in a lousy manner. They look at them and say, sorry. They don't feel the sorrow of their sin. No one in this room can come to Christ unless you have the attitude of the thief on the cross. He's receiving capital punishment, and he looks to the Lord and he says, Lord, would you remember me when you come to heaven? He was too ashamed to even ask for forgiveness. But God could see the brokenness of his heart, the sorrow over his sin. And then you and I have to say to the Lord, I'm sorry. Everybody in this room. Now, look, it's not just the worst of sinners. There's no such thing as the worst of sinners and the best of sinners. There's no scale that makes any difference. Many people that I talk with, if I witness to somebody this week and I talk to them, they're going to think, look, I'll take my good works and the bad works and I sort of blend them together and put them on a scale, and whichever ones, that's which way I go, up or down. And it's not that way at all. The Bible says, you know, whosoever shall offend in one point is guilty of all, in James chapter 2. So one sin's enough to send us all to hell, because heaven requires perfection. And nobody in this room is perfect. So we need the Lord. We need a new heart. But you've got to come to the Lord with a sorrow of your sin and a sense that you've seen it. And Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And Lord, I know I've done wrong. And Lord, would you forgive me? You have to say to him, I want you to forgive me. Many people, they do things that are wrong, but they just assume the other people will be okay with it. And they don't want to go back and admit it. You got to say you're sorry. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need a new heart. And it's available to everybody in this room. You may say, Pastor, you don't know the life that I've lived. The woman taken in adultery in the book of Luke, Jesus Christ looked at her and said, go and sin no more. Said, I'm not going to condemn you. And she looked at him and said, oh, man, no, man, Lord. Her heart was broken over her sin. And so she was going to go and change her life because of the power of God in her life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Everybody in this room needs a new heart. Have you had one from Jesus? That's the reason you'll notice. Look in Ezekiel chapter 18. Look in verse number 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions. Tell the Lord you're sorry. That's the way you do it. We don't get rid of them. God does. But you'll notice, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. How do we do that? We come to the Lord and say, I'm sorry. Will you be willing to do that this morning? Now, you know, let me tell you this. In a group like this, it is so difficult to humble yourself because you're going to think in your mind, what are people going to think? What would people think if I went forward? I almost didn't trust Christ as Savior because of that thought. 52 years ago, I sat back in the service with my parents, and I had family members that had come that Sunday. And the Lord touched my heart, said, day's the day. You better get it straightened out. I said, Lord, there's family here. I can't go forward now. I'd embarrass myself. And he said, you got to come tell me you're sorry. You got to admit it. You have a sense of sorrow. I said, Lord, I do. I'm sorry for my sin. He said, you got to come talk to me. I'll never forget. I thank him every day. That day is so indelibly imprinted on my mind that this morning I got up and said, Lord, thank you for the ability to step out that first day, that you gave me the power to step out because I didn't have it. If you're here this morning, you step out and come to the Lord Jesus. He'll give you a brand new heart. And that changed my life forever. And I want you to have that same heart. Now notice, you got to have a new heart. I want you to sense this. He gives us a new heart. The Lord Jesus will give us a new heart. But I want you to notice number two, he will grant us new mercies every day. Take your Bible and turn to Lamentations, if you would. Lamentations chapter 3. And you may need to laminate your Bible. I don't know. Let's try it. Lamentations chapter 3. I want you to notice this passage. Verse 21. Now, I've got one of the new things I want to dwell on. I always want to mention salvation because I want people, never want people to come to church without having the gospel being presented, because that's why we're here. And you'll notice, if you would, chapter 3, verse number 21 of Lamentations, right before Ezekiel. Ezekiel, Lamentations, you know, I want you to notice this right after Ezekiel. Now notice verse 21. This I recall to mind. Oh, I remembered something. Therefore have I hope. Now, if you're here today and you're discouraged, or maybe you're facing some difficulties, and you say, oh my goodness, you know, I don't know what the future holds. You got a brand new year. And I want you to notice that something that goes along with a brand new year, if you're God's child. Notice, if you would, in verse number 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Verse number 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion with my soul, therefore I hope in him. So if you're today here and you're a bit discouraged, maybe you're carrying around a weight, there's been some things happening in your life, whether it be health, whether it be a job, no matter what it is, maybe a relationship that's been broken, needs to be restored. Can I explain to you this morning that God says there are new mercies every day that I give to you? I want you to notice, number one, the Lord rebukes Satan for us every day. Did you know every day, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, Satan's in heaven accusing us. That's what he's doing. He's not on this earth. Satan wants no part of this world. He wants no part of hell. So he's in heaven. He's standing by the throne of God saying, that Dave Pittman, he's this and he's that and he's right. He sees everything that I do wrong. And God says, yeah, but he's got mercy. My mercies are new every day from the Lord, and so are yours. So you and I don't have to carry around weights and sins and worries. We don't have to, because the Lord says, I'm going to give you new mercies every day. And one of the mercies I'm going to get, I'm going to rebuke Satan. You leave him alone. Now, you and I need the Lord to rebuke Satan for us. If you look through Scripture, anytime God has pulled back and said, okay, you can have them, Sodom and Gomorrah was erased that quick. Job's family was erased that quick. Job's health was erased that quick. It was just over. The second the Lord stepped back, Satan rushes in and he would destroy everyone in this room. And you must understand, there's an underworld that you and I cannot see. But there are demons and there are angels around all of us. In Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, it says, we have angels that watch out for us. You do. Now, some of you put your angels to the test. I know that. The way things we do, crazy things we do. You know, I heard a little story one time. There's a guy driving in his car and driving a little crazy and ends up with a wreck. And somebody comes and checks and says, are you all right? And he says, yeah. He said, my guardian angel has been taking good care of me. He said, well, you better let your angel ride with me before you kill him. I'm telling you, the way you're driving. And I think that's the way we all are sometimes. We get to going so fast and doing certain things that our angels have to hustle to keep up with us. But God gives us protection every day. Hope and protection. So I want you to understand, God rebukes Satan. He restores to us the joy of life. He restores us breath and life. Have you ever thought about why your heart is beating today? Have you ever thought about when you got up this morning and took a deep breath? That's a mercy of the Lord. We don't deserve that. Hebrew word for mercy is a kindness. It's a goodness. God is good to us. And his mercies, his goodness to us is daily. So if you're here today and you're breathing and you're not hurting, that's a blessing of the Lord. Do you realize that the Lord says, now I want you to have hope. I'm giving you a new opportunity. I'm giving you a new year. I'm giving you new mercies, new kindnesses. Will you serve me? I rebuked the old devil and I've restored your health. I've given you another day and another day and another day. And you'll notice not only that, but he remembers we're sinners. He knows that we have this default to always commit sin. He knows that. And somehow he's still good and kind to us. I mean, I don't understand that. None of us would be good and kind to each other if we treated the Lord, if we treat each other like we treat the Lord. I mean, we have the wrong thoughts, have the wrong attitude. We don't take mistreatment well. And yet the God of heaven, when he's on the cross, says, Father, forgive them. When he's being crucified for us. Do you understand that the goodness of God is great to all of us in this room? Now, take your Bible and notice if you would. And not only that, but he renews our spirit when we are broken. Notice if you would, Lamentations chapter 3. Look down if you would in verse number 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Verse 24. The Lord is my portion with my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. I'm going to hope in the Lord. Look, I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. I am not going to worry about the things of this life. Everybody in this room, you and I, we all have to have a hope in the Lord. And that restoration is a gift of God. Everybody in this room. Now, could I ask you this morning, have you allowed the blessings of the Lord, the kindnesses and the goodness of the Lord to affect your heart today? Do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart? Notice he says, therefore, will I have hope in him. Is your hope in the Lord or is it in your business that they'll give you a raise? Folks, we've got to learn to live not trusting the doctor, but trusting the great physician. Not trusting the big-time company that we have, but trusting the Lord. Lord, I want to trust you. He says, I'm giving you mercies, kindnesses for you to trust me. Will you do it? It's new. Everybody in this room, folks, you've got a new hope every morning. Let me say this to you. If you've lost somebody, a family member, maybe you lost a brother or a sister or a child, You have to say, Lord, I know they're better off. They've trusted you as Savior. And I'm going to trust you to help me have hope in you. You got to take your eyes off of self, all of us. It'll destroy us. You have to have hope in the future. His mercies are new every day. See them. Take your Bible, notice if you would, take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Not only does he give us a new heart, but he grants us new mercies every day, and he guides us in a new way. I want you to see these. Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to notice this passage. And this is the part I want you to really take a little bit of time with this morning. Notice, if you would, in verse number 19. This is Hebrews 10, 19. Now, in verse 17, I want you to keep your finger right there at 19, but I want you to look at the why in verse 17. Notice, if you would, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, this is the God of heaven speaking to those people that have gotten a new heart. Notice verse 18. Now, where remission of these is, where the sending away of their sin is, there is no more offering for sin. Do you remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross and he said, it is finished? That's what he meant. There'll never be again another offering. Now, the Jewish folks are still in the Old Testament. They're still making offerings and sacrifices, but they don't understand that Jesus was the last one, that he finished it forever. I told you before that when Jesus said, tetelestai, and he's hanging on the cross, it is finished. The original Greek word in the perfect tense. It from this day forward and forever, it will never be done again. This sacrifice, this offering, is enough to cover the future every day for the rest of eternity. And that's the reason he said, it is finished. That's the reason he came, was to make verse 18 true. Notice, now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. So do you think that Jesus knew you were going to mess up after you trusted Christ as Savior and got a new heart? Sure he did. Don't get confused between fellowship and relationship. Relationship between God and us is permanent. But as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God or daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. So relationship is permanent. I mean, Jeremy's here today. He's my only son, only child. And there's nothing he can do to not be my son. Nothing. He might lose his mind and go rob a bank. Now, I'd be embarrassed, but he's still mine, and I'd love him. Got to pay the penalty, but I'd stand with him. I'm not going to cover it up. I'm not going to say, because you're my son, it's okay. But he's still my son. The Heavenly Father does the same thing. You can't change that he's my son. Why? Because it's a blood relationship. And that's why Jesus Christ shed his blood for you to wash away your sin. It's a blood relationship, and it's permanent. Now, because of that, verse 19 is the case. Look, if you would, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, all of us that have been saved, that the blood of Christ has been applied to our lives. Brethren, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Christ is what makes access to us to the God of heaven. Now, keep in mind, relationship is permanent. It's by the blood of Christ. But fellowship is temporary. It's based upon how we treat the Lord and how we obey the Lord. And so it's just like in this life. If you and I were married and you don't treat your wife right, maybe you say something sarcastic to her and hurt her feelings, you have to go back and say, sweetheart, I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? And that doesn't restore relationship. That restores fellowship. And the religions of the world get those two words all confused. They think that it restores relationship. So thereby, you never know if you're on your way to heaven. But it's not that case. Salvation is permanent. And so he said, look, as brethren, I want you to understand something. You're my children, and I've got a new. Now notice verse 19. Having therefore brethren, people that have been saved, their sins have been sent away by the blood of Christ. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And that was a very clear picture to the Jewish people in their Old Testament service. They had a temple. The outside of the temple was a large room that was called the holy place. But then there was a curtain, and you go back through, and that was the tabernacle, and inside there was a perfectly cubed room. Same width, same length, and same height. Perfectly cubed room. And one item of furniture in that room. And it was this Ark of the Covenant that's there. Has two angels that look at each other and their wingtips touched. And underneath it was an altar, and the blood of Christ was, the blood of a lamb was sprinkled on that, that would cover sin for a year. And they did that for centuries until the perfect lamb came. And that's when Jesus Christ hung on the cross and said the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to make a new and living way for you to come to me personally. In the Old Testament, you had to go to the priest. He had to offer a sacrifice for you. He said, but when my son pays the debt permanently, it's a new and living way. Notice what he says in verse number 20. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated, paid for us, through the veil, that is to say his flesh. His flesh tore the veil between us because he died for us. Notice, if you would, in verse number 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. The blood of Christ erases our guilt, and our bodies washed with pure water. Notice, if you would, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. And notice verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, this verse 20, by a new and living way. What does that mean? You and I, take your Bible and turn it back over to Hebrews 4. A new and living way. He will guide us into a new and living way. Hebrews 4. Look at verse 14. Seeing then, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Same phraseology used in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is touched when you hurt. He has compassion toward you. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows about our sin. He knows about our failures. But notice, if you would, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. You know, the new and living way is you'll be able to come down to this altar this morning and say, Lord Jesus, I'm carrying a weight. Would you help me with it? That he could help. He said, I feel what you feel. I know the hurt of your heart. I know you're scared to go back to college. I know you're scared of this class. I know you're scared of that project at work. I know you're fearful of this relationship. I understand that. I had all those things in a different fashion, but I went through each one of them without sin. I'm willing to help you that you can learn to trust me. My mercies, my goodness is new to you every day because you're mine. But it's a new and living way. Why carry the burden? You got a health issue? Why carry the burden? Turn it to the Lord. You can't fix it anyway. You can't change it. You can only trust. And you can trust the doctor, or you can trust the great physician. One gives you peace, one doesn't. Now, let me ask you this question. I ask you a real question. See if you can answer this spiritual tone. If God said, I need to give you cancer, so you learn the compassion of people. And so you learn to trust me. Would you say, okay, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. It's a new and living way. He said, I'll never put something on you that I don't walk with you together. Just come to me and I'll help you. I used to visit hospitals, still do, but I was in Chicago, visited hospitals. I was in Memphis, I was in Dallas. In Dallas, I had a whole day. Chicago, I had a whole day. And I visited all kinds of hospitals. And so I'd go visit a hospital. I'd see somebody. Maybe they got cancer. I'll never forget the one time I walked into one room, and the lady's dying. She's only got a couple days left. And walked in the room. She said, "Hi, Pastor." I thought this lady was dying. She was cheerful and upbeat. And we talked. And when I left that room, I was lifted up. I was encouraged. I said, "That lady can't be that sick." 3 days later, she's in heaven. I said, "How did she do that?" She learned the new and living way. She could get on her knees and say, "Lord, I can't carry this burden. The worst thing that can happen to me is I get a new home in heaven." Do you understand that's the worst thing that can happen to anybody in this room? And then we're with him for all eternity. Don't put all your eggs in this life and say, "Look, I got to have this and I got to have that." Heaven is coming. And everybody in this room, we learn to trust him and say, "Lord, will you help me?" There's a new and living way that he said, "Look, you don't have to go to Dave Pittman as your priest, as your preacher. You don't have to go to Aaron, the high priest. I'm going to make a new living way where you can come straight to me. I'm sitting on my throne of grace. You come straight to me." That is the new and living way that Jesus died to wash away your sins, to give you access to him. Do you use it? Or do you walk around sad and depressed, carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders when you can't fix it anyway? The Lord Jesus said, "I want my people to have my grace and joy, and I want them to represent me with the smile of heaven on their face. I want you to be a light unto the world, no matter what you're going through." So, you know, I used to visit these hospitals. I walked into that lady's room, and I said, "Lord, I'm so sorry." And I said, "Lord, I need to have that kind of joy. And I need to have compassion." I didn't have compassion. I went into the room and I could pray with them, but I didn't feel what they felt until that drunk driver hit me in the back and I had the disc messed up. And so I had to go to the surgery, and they put me in the surgery and took bones off my hip, straightened up the neck. I mean, I was in absolute agony for 17 days. And when that was done, I remember walking with my 30-something years old I don't know what you call those things, a walker. And I walked out of my room, full neck brace, and I walked out of my room and bumped into the guy next door to me. And he's about 30 years old, 35 years old. We bumped into each other. It was like, "Oh, this is embarrassing, you know?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "You ever had same surgery, same thing?" I didn't know if the whole wing had that surgery. And so I'm sitting there. I said, "Oh, my goodness, Lord. You know what? The next time I went to the hospital, I was different." Now, I'm not thankful I had that event in my life, but I am thankful for what it did in my heart. It allows me to be able to go to a hospital and feel compassion and sense and try to carry some of the weight. And it makes it easier for me to remember to pray for people that are hurting. Are you willing to say, "Lord, give me whatever it takes to let me your servant"? It's a new and living way. You don't have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. You can come to him. Lastly, very quickly, notice not only will he give us a new heart, he'll grant to us new mercies, and he will grace us with new heavenly things. Take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, and we'll close. Revelation 21. Notice, if you would, he'll guide us in a new way, and he'll grace us with new heavenly things. Now, just take a quick note here. Verse 1, chapter 21 of Revelation. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." And you'll notice he says, "I've got this new place prepared for you." It's a new capital of the universe. It's Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. And if you read chapter 21, it's a spectacular place. It is 1,520 miles cubed. It's enough room for everybody that's ever lived to have more than a square mile of space. If you could picture it all together, you think heaven must be going to be crowded. No, it's not. Anybody here got a square mile? 640 acres? Nobody. And so the Lord says, "I've got a place prepared for you that's brand new. It's got new friends. It's got everything about it. It's new. It's got a new place for you to be able to enjoy things. It's got a new focus." It's you walk inside heaven and it's Jesus forever. Now, he's got new ideas for you and I to enjoy. The Bible says, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Now, I'm a Cowboys fan and have been growing up in Dallas. And, there could be very few things better than the Cowboys winning a Super Bowl. And so, you know, that's probably never going to happen again in my lifetime. And so that's okay, but the Redskins won't either. That makes me feel a little bit better, all right? So here we are on the same page, and we're both grieving and worrying about it. But, you know, but as much as I would enjoy sitting on my couch watching Dallas play whoever in the Super Bowl and winning it, it would just thrill my heart. I still have a paperweight from the last Super Bowl with a picture of Harper going up and dunking over the basketball, over the crossbar when he scored a touchdown and we beat Buffalo 50-something to whatever it was. That was one of the great days, man. It was a fantastic day. I think, Lord, how much did I enjoy that? Wait till you get to heaven. I've got stuff for you you haven't even thought about. So if I think about how much I enjoy watching football or playing this sport or doing this or whatever it might be, God says, I got things in store for you that are brand new, no one's ever done before. Will you serve me? I've prepared for you. Will you serve me? I'll give you a new heart. I'll grant you new mercies. I'll guide you in a new way. And I'll grace you with new things when you step foot inside heaven. There's a tree there. The Bible says it's in the middle of heaven, the middle of the New Jerusalem, that bears 12 manner of fruit. When I get to heaven, I'm looking for watermelons on that tree. I'm looking for it. I like watermelon. I'm beginning to think about all the different things that God has for us that we have never seen before. Folks, don't look at this life and say this is all there is to it. Heaven is around the corner. Live for eternity. You've got a whole new year. Get a clear vision. The Lord has got something for you to do this year to make an eternal purpose. Don't get spiraling down on the things you don't have or the things that have discouraged you, ill health. Come to the Lord in that new and living way and say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I know you give me mercies every day, but Lord, would you give me strength and grace that I might represent you well? I know heaven's around the corner. I'm willing to trust you. Do you have the hope of God in your heart today? Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. I think of the woman at the well that had five husbands and was living in sin, and she went to the well one day and never had any clue that one day her whole life was going to change that morning when she went to the well. And she saw Jesus. And today, maybe you're here and you needed a cataclysmic change. Well, Jesus said, I'll meet you. Come to me. So maybe you're carrying a weight this morning. Let me encourage you in a new living way. Get out of your seat and come to this altar and say, Lord, I need to talk to you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I'm going to ask, we're going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to stand to sing. And you here this morning say, I don't know I'm going to heaven. Could I urge you to come? You're carrying a weight. Your burden for someone else? Could I encourage you to come? Maybe you need to refocus your purposes. Think of eternity. All the things God's got prepared for you. Oh, how he loves you. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts. In your name we pray.